perhaps we could just look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and I have this portion on my heart. It says there in verse 27, it says, "But I tell you of a truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, James, and John, and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias," not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Now, what's on my heart, brethren, is just a couple of short stories in connection with, as our brother was talking about, the leading of the Spirit of God. It is a most exciting thing. This June, I got to 70, and I look back at my early life. And I look back to this part of the building when I was a kid. I was in this room. And a brother by the name of Dan Anderson came and spake at a meeting. I guess I must have been about 10 or so. And he made a comment that stuck with me all my life. He said, "How can we know the mind of God if we've never read his word?" And you know, for years that stuck with me. And we had a gospel effort going out at Lake Elsinore, and it was with a bunch of juvenile young men. And they were in there for felonies that they had committed where they were too young to be put into prison, and so they were put into this facility. Another brother, Roger Parsons, was a counselor there at the time. And as we went out there and we presented the gospel, some nights it was chaos. It was really, and we thought, is this really what the Lord wants us to do? And I thought about what Dan Anderson had said. And I thought, how in the world are we going to get the gospel into these guys that are just rambunctious? They were just really hard to control. I prayed about it. And the Lord gave me something. He laid on my heart. He said, "You go down to the candy store and you get a bunch of candy bars. And then you get some of those texts that the sisters do in their crafts. And then you take them out to Lake Elsinore." So we got out there, and I told them, I said, "See this verse on this picture? If you can quote me that verse without looking at the picture, I'll give you one of these candy bars." to the shock of the counselors out there. These boys already lined up in a row. They're all willing to learn the Word of God for a candy bar. So we went through, wrote their name down, wrote down the verse that they learned, and made sure that they learned a different verse every time they came through the line, and passed out all my candy bars. You know, dear ones, the Word of God is precious, and to get it committed to memory is something that you'll never feel sorry about taking the time. I had in my career a fellow by name of Bob Ford, and Irwin Witte, which was a brother in our meeting at the time, offered me a job, and I got this job there. And as business progresses and opportunities open up, general manager was let go because of having a problem with alcohol. And what they did was they took another man and put him into his position. And this friend that I know, Bob Ford, he was called into the new general manager's office, and the new manager, which was Bill Myers, Bill said to Bob, he said, "Bob, I want to promote you to VP of Manufacturing, and I have two things that I require of you." Bob said, "Okay, what are they?" He said, "One, you give up your Bible study that you have on your lunch break. And second, you take up social drinking." Bob replied with, "If I can't have Christ and my job, I don't want the job. If I can't have Christ and my Bible study, I don't want the job. I'd rather just be where I'm at." 2 weeks later, Bob got promoted. Why? Well, because the Lord was over everything, for one. But because Bill knew that he could not buy Bob. He knew that Bob was going to stick to his guns. And he knew that Bob was not going to give up his Bible study. I was for 10 years, I worked at that company, and I enjoyed going to the Bible studies that Bob had. Bob was not a gathered to the Lord's name, but he had a good understanding of the gospel, and he had a good understanding of the Word of God. And it was fun to go and share thoughts with Bob and with Irwin. And we had a lot of good times. But you know what I found about all those times that we had with the Bible study? It came down to this portion here in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, "Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." Brethren, that was future. That was future. Here he has Moses and Elias talking about the decease of the Lord Jesus at Jerusalem. And you know, sometimes when we meet people and we're not sure how to present the gospel, if you bring up the cross of Christ, of what he did at Calvary's cross, it kind of opens the door to speaking about the Lord Jesus and what he's done for you and how much he means to you. You know, we can look at our lives, and sometimes we wonder about how the Lord has led us. But you know, I have found that when I get discouraged, I can always go back to the cross of Christ. I can always go back to that scene at Calvary. When we read in there in the Gospels about the darkness that was there, the suffering that the Lord Jesus did on Calvary to redeem this sinner right here, the guy that I see in the mirror every morning as I shave. He loves me, and he died for me. Now, just one quick of housekeeping. How long is this meeting till? 3:15? Okay, well, we won't go 3:15, but just a few more thoughts. But when we get discouraged and we think of the love that the Lord Jesus has for us, how wonderful to have our souls encouraged. You know, that some of you that know me, I'm out from the West Coast, and my early years were here at Dorothy, and my father was transferred in sales to the West Coast. And so in 1964, we went to California, and I went through high school and college. And it's been very interesting in getting involved with some of the gospel efforts that we had in our early days there in California. And you know, I can't help but think that as we went out to preach the gospel, and as our brother was remarking about, there was about the Spirit of God leading, I remember the first time I went out to the boys' home with the gospel. I was there with some of the brothers, and we had our guitars, and we were playing a few hymns and songs. And, you know, I wasn't sure just quite how, you know, who was going to speak. And what happened was, we were just kind of leaning against the counter, and one brother, Irwin, he says, now we'll have a word from our young brother, John. Well, you know, I'm sitting there leaning against the wall, you know. When brother on that side sat down, the brother on that side sat down, and I'm the only guy left standing. And, you know, I all of a sudden there's just a surge of, hey, time to wake up. This is reality. It's time to speak. And boy, I tell you, within a couple of microseconds, man, my heart was pumping. Well, what happened? Well, gave forth the gospel the best I could. And then we went into saying verses for candy bars. And it was interesting because the counselors came back and they said, well, you know, we're doing a pretty good job of counseling the boys. Look how orderly they are. Look how they all line up. And the other brothers that were with me, they were kind of like, sure, you know. I think these guys really want just the candy bars. But what was interesting was that they came back at us with verses that they had read out of the Word of God. Now, sometimes, you know, we don't see fruit right away with taking the gospel out to the same place all the time. But, you know, the thing that I have learned, and one of the things that I do now that I'm retired, is I drive what they call Uber. Now, Uber is like a taxi cab service, is what it is. And what happens is you get a notification on your cell phone to go pick up an individual. And picking up individuals gives you an opportunity, because you never know who you're going to pick up, but it gives you an opportunity to present the gospel. Now, one of the rules that Uber has is they say, well, you should have a little candy dish for candy. Okay, so I put a candy dish. Well, the candy dish. See, there's a story behind this. The candy dish, I looked at. Mechanical engineering is my background, so I said, oh, no problem. I told my wife, I can design one. Her response was, this century or next? You know, and she took a plastic bottle, cut the top off, took a coat hanger, bent it around, stuck it in the pocket of the car, filled it with candy. Done. So, and I still use that today. It's still working. But the other thing that Uber requires is they say you got to play music. Now, you know how it is, young people, with music. You have these guys that come out with these boom boxes, and it goes kaboom, 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 kaboom. You know, and your brain is just rattled, you know. Well, I picked a couple of CDs by Stephen Anderson. And Stephen Anderson is a British pianist, and he plays a lot of the tunes from the hymn book that we have, the Little Flock Hymn Book. And so it was pretty nice, so I would stick those in the CD player. And what was interesting was people would get in and out of the car, and they would recognize some of those tunes. They'd say, yeah, that tune I heard from church. Well, you see, when you work for somebody, you can't exactly go out and stand around with your Bible and preach the gospel. You got to have a door opened. And so by playing that music, people would inquire and ask me questions about it. And so then I had a chance to tell them the gospel. And so it was real good. And I had some people that have come into my car. And this one gal got in the back seat of the car, and she starts listening to this music. And she says, you know, you are so lucky. And I kind of shook my head saying, what do you mean, lucky? She says, listen to the music. You have all these songs. Those songs and are the ones that we use for praise and prayer in our church. You get to drive a car all day long listening to praise and prayer songs. You are so lucky. I didn't think I was lucky. I just thought this would be a good way to spread the gospel. But she thought this was, you know, a great job for me to go drive around listening to praise and prayer songs. Well, come to find out, she was a believer and she knew the Lord as her Savior. And you have an opportunity to ask ones, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? What does the Lord's death on Calvary mean? To Moses and Elias in this passage that we talked about, it must have meant quite a bit. Look at what some of the things that Elias did, how Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Why weren't they talking about those things? Because they're all eclipsed. They're out of the picture because the death of Christ is prominent. What Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross is the foremost thing. He has washed your sins away. He's washed my sins away in his precious blood on Calvary's cross so that he could have me up in the glory with him for all eternity. All eternity. Have you ever thought about that? You and I will be in the glory, and we will see the Lord Jesus face to face, and we will see the nail prints in his hands, the spear mark in his side, the nail prints in his feet, and we will praise him for all eternity that he saved you and I. No wonder they were talking about his decease at Calvary, what it meant. Jew and Gentile brought together as the bride of Christ. And what can we say when we think of what it will mean when the Lord Jesus will come and take and rapture us out of this scene to be forever with him in the glory, the glory. Ah, you know, we have that one hymn that says, face to face with Christ my Savior. Have you ever thought about that moment? As you perhaps lay on your bed at night, what is it going to be when we open our eyes and we see the Lord Jesus face to face? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean to your heart? What does it mean to go and take a few minutes each Lord's Day to be around his table to remember him and his death for you? Have you ever thought about that? We have symbols or tokens, as Scripture refers to them as, the cup and the wine. The cup and the bread, they're on the table. And we sit there, a cup, a token of his blood, the loaf, a token of his body given for us, and we have the privilege of spending, what, 60 minutes maybe, to think upon the sufferings of Christ and to think upon what he has done for us and for you there at Calvary. What a privilege we have when we think of the Lord and his finished work there at Calvary's cross for us. We just thank him and praise him for it. And so we just thank him too that he stirs up ones to stand up here and share their enjoyment of Christ. What can we say? It's a blessed privilege.